From an album called Sequentia by Susan Alex Jandra, and it's part of your DNA set to music. That's the cut called T-A-L, Tall. This is Vocal Profiling Live. I'm your host, Sherry Edwards. We're on VBS Radio. We have with us today Tall Blonde Heather.
Hi, Sherry.
And Nikki.
Hi.
Who you've heard from before. And a panel of guests that are going to talk to us about the vocal profiling class. As most of you know, on this program, Vocal Profiling Live, we ask you to call in. We take about a 2-minute sample of your voice, and we put it into our magic computer program, and out comes a 4 or 5 page report answering questions. Sometimes we answer questions you didn't even ask. We can talk about compatibilities, who gets along in a job, who gets along together. If we have time at the end of the show, because this is a Valentine's show, we might do some compatibilities of some couples that are working together and are together as life partners. You've seen us do this before with Chris and Nikki about their relationship and what was happening with it. We've also been able to do the invoice live with Diet. We've had a lot of fun with that last week's show. We were crammed with people. We got a lot of calls afterwards. And one of the questions we were repeatedly asked is, how can I get this done for myself? Or how can I learn to do it? Heather, do you have an answer to that question?
How can we learn to do that? Well, join us at our preview class. Sherry gives us often at no charge if you're lucky enough to sign up and get in on that. Our next preview class is going to be Monday, the 25th of this month. So we invite you all to either call us at our office at 740-698-9119 or email us, and you can email me. It's heather@vocalprofiling.com. And Sherry will give you a wealth of information in this class and introduce you to the world of bioacoustics.
Oh, thank you. Other classes, too, that we do a day class, which is teaching you to use the little profiler programs for the public. And after that, you can make a choice as to whether or not you want to buy those programs to have for your family or your community. There's nutrition, there's pre-vac, there's women's hormones, there's bodies in balance. A new one that Nikki's doing is about diet. That's the most fun one we've had in a long time. You want to talk loudly about that because you're way far away from the microphone here, Nikki.
Well, we've created a database that is going to help people lose weight. And pretty soon it's going to be one of the little programs we have, and you'll be able to purchase that program and see what your weight issues are and take them to your health care provider and get some help with your weight.
Well, one of the questions that we had was from a lady named Sharon from Connecticut, and she says, I really enjoyed your show, but I don't want to wait a week for the next show to come along. How can I get this done and do it for myself? So take Heather's suggestion and sign up for one of the preview classes. Does it cost anything, Heather?
Well, if you are one of the first few, three people to get in touch with me, I can get you in at no cost. And that's Sherry and Sound Health's gift to you.
So the rest of them are going to have to pay.
That's why I'm telling you, hurry up.
Hurry up and wait. Okay. Or they're going to have to wait till they call us, then call Bailey at 740-698-9119. That's 740-698-9119. And Bailey can set them up about a 15-minute appointment time, and we will look at things in a very cursory kind of level. If they've got a question, if they've got a diet question they want us to answer, we can do that. If they want a full comprehensive evaluation, they're going to have to sign up for more, or they can get in touch with a bioacoustic profiler in their area. How can they find those people, Heather?
Okay, that's online at our website. It is www.nutra, and that's with an A, sounds.com. And if you go to the page, the Become a Client page, down at the bottom, you'll find a map. It'll say to locate a practitioner near you. And that's a Google interactive map, so that will give you very specific directions and instructions on how to get a hold of our practitioners.
Well, that's one of the problems we're having. We don't have enough practitioners to go around. There's points here when we had 1,000 people on the waiting list trying to see us or do something, and we had to refer them out to a lot of people. We're doing this in the hopes that we can get you people interested in bringing this bioacoustics and vocal profiling to your community, because we're overworked. So I'm doing it very selfishly, because if I can get you trained, I have to do less work. So one of the things that we do every month is have a class. And in the class this month, we have 6 people on site. And how many online?
7.
7 people online. So you can take this course right in your living room. You don't have to come here to do that. You do have to have a high-speed connection. But we have this question so often, what are these classes like, that we asked this class to tell you, and nothing's been rehearsed, and we're just going to ask them to tell the truth about how they got involved. We have Chris with us, Stephen, Ray, Glenn, Kat, and Valerie. Chris, do you want to start first? How you got involved with this? Here, take the microphone over there. We can get it to you quietly so we don't make a lot of noise.
Hi. I got involved because I have a son who today is 6.5 and has had quite a few health challenges. And over the last 4 or 5 years, we've continued to investigate and research a variety of, you know, and anything we can do to help him. And so we've done a lot of things. And then we were fortunate enough to come across bioacoustics not too long ago. And the more that I've learned about it, then the more interesting and it looked and exciting and amazing. And that's what led me to take this class.
You're a little more than halfway through your class, Chris. What do you think?
So, being halfway through the class, definitely this technology has exceeded my wildest imagination. It's amazing from the diagnostic standpoint, but then, I mean, that alone would be amazing. But then to have the therapeutic capability of the technology as well is just unbelievable.
Thank you, Chris. Do we have a volunteer to go next? Stephen's going to go next, right around the table.
Hello, everyone. My name is Stephen May. I have a background in art and music. I've been playing a bamboo flute for 25 years. And in the course of my studies of art and music, I was naturally involved with the healing components, which had several different dimensions. One would be just learning to love the line that you can draw, or learning to love the sound that you can make with your voice. And so there are so many aspects of related to sound and to healing and to color and movement that I've explored that for 20 or 30 years, and my nature is more poetic, so I can play a flute melody and I can enjoy that. People would see images from a Greek shepherd or a Native American sweat lodge, and that was always I could appreciate that. It was my acquaintance with Sherry's work that's come out of her genius and gift that has to do with the specifics of the sound frequencies and the living metaphor that we're in a musical universe, and that each one of us is a musical instrument. So at the time, for me, being halfway or a little bit more than halfway through the course, I'm exhilarated by the information. I'm challenged to get my computer skills up to speed so that I can, from now on, I'll be able to offer my flute music in concerts and sessions, but also even more excited. I'm more excited to be able to offer the bioacoustic awareness and to acquaint people with the understanding of how we're frequency oriented and everything about the specifics, and to have a dawning understanding that everything about our health is incorporated in our voice, is living in our voice, and to make people aware of that as it sinks in. For me, I feel like in a certain way I've come to another planet, because the technology is so advanced to what's available. It's an awesome progression from where we are generally on Earth. I had two daughters born at home into my hands, so I'm aware of a widespread of what's available in the medical model. But this experience with meeting these new friends and being with Sherry and Nikki has just been completely beyond anything I could imagine that I was stepping into when I had the right brain prompting a couple of weeks ago that I had to be here, that it was the next most important thing I could be doing in my work with art and music.
Stephen, and some of the things that you've learned in class about making formulas using musical notes, do you think now maybe you'll take your flute and make individualized songs for people based on the sounds they need?
That's an excellent sound vision, and usually my flute play is improvisational. So I don't have a classical musical training. I don't play a classical musical flute. So I am now, I feel like I have the technology, or the beginning of it, to put what you're saying together with my bamboo flute improvisation. So that's the fact that I'm not classically trained, but I have a strong foundation in the mystery of improvisation. Now the technology of bioacoustics is supporting bringing the improvisational around, or giving it that foundation. So I'm accepting the challenge of what you're saying, and I'll be looking forward to what can come out of that.
Two things I'd like to consider here. If we could take someone's vocal print and then you play a flute for them, see if it matches their vocal print, or to see if it changes it dramatically based on the notes that you played for them. Would you talk a bit about your granddaughter? Are you willing to do that?
Within the last couple of weeks, as I've been making preparations to come here to Albany, Ohio, from where I live in Connecticut, my granddaughter, Kelsey, who was just 11 on the 8th of January, came into a emergency situation where she had to be driven from her home in Martinez, California, to the Children's Medical Center in San Francisco. Because what was appearing to be a fever and a cold turned into be a severely swollen leg, and they couldn't figure out with CAT scans or sonograms or x-rays what was happening until they discovered some clotting going on right near her groin. So in the last few days, she's had three surgeries where they inserted a tube behind her left leg and filled her full of heparin to clear the clotting out. And in the process of doing that, they discovered two collateral veins at the base of the interior vena cava. And they're suspecting that that all was developing for her when she was in utero, inside her mother, at some late stage of pregnancy. So with all the appreciation for the emergency team and all the wonderful people that have been there working on her, and even her interest in to become a veterinary doctor had been heightened in this experience, when I hear that she's being given the prescription to be on Coumadin for the rest of her life. The whole process that I've been through with Kelsey in the last few days and then coming to this class, it heightens my desire to become proficient in this technology and this form of energy medicine so that I can listen to her, be with her, gather voice prints, and see what her body will be telling us about how to deal with these collateral veins. And perhaps there's ways that she would not have to have a life of involvement with Coumadin. Maybe there's another way to go about it with frequencies and adjustments in her own system with supplements and vitamins. So it's been a process with Kelsey that has just really underlined for me what was already a strong desire and passion to gain skills in this area. I haven't had a chance to get a voice print from her yet, but she's coming home soon.
Ginkgo is an herb that is also a blood thinner you might want to consider. We haven't actually done her print here, but we have done some preliminary things in some of the research, and we've decoded some of the biochemistry that you and I have been working kind of behind the scenes on that. So hopefully we can carry on with that when you leave and you get a voice print, and we can look at the biochemistry. If she's actually created some new veins. So that was a big help to know that and to why the body does that. Mm-hmm. So if we can get a handle on someone's complaint, then we can see if we can help them. And most of the time people say to me, can you cure such and such? And I say, no, I'm looking for data. If you get well, that's your option. So mostly in this class, we're looking for data and to help these cases that medicine just hasn't been able to crack. Ray, you're kind of next at the table. How'd you get here?
Hello, my name is Ray. The way I got here is kind of unique. During my second tour in Iraq, we were looking at some technologies to detect deception. As you can imagine, it's very important for us to know. The traditional way to do that is to use polygraphs, which are cumbersome and take quite a bit of time. And a polygraph examiner can do maybe two or three people a day. I was introduced to a technology called layered voice analysis to detect deception. We used it successfully to do interviews to determine detection of deception. What I liked about it was quick, it was non-invasive, and we could do many subjects. So essentially, we were screening the people who, the screening of the people in the two categories, those that needed a professional interview with a polygraph, and those that we can let go. As I looked into the layered voice analysis, I learned that Sound Health, Sherry's technology, was actually the basis for layered voice analysis. And I kept that in the back of my mind. And I've had been interested in using it, in some way down the road. Several years ago, I was transferred from Fort Hood to Fort Sam Houston, where I joined the field element that is at Fort Sam Houston. I talked to the field element chief about this, and we looked at the technology. And what I'll do, rather than go on about the brain injury study, I'll let Valerie describe it.
Valerie, you want to take it next, even though you're not mine? Go ahead.
My name is Valerie. I do research, and I do what is known as human factors or ergonomics research. And that field of study, we look at a person's capabilities and limitations, not typically individuals, although we can do that, but we look at it in more of a global sense. So we would look at study human capabilities and limitations mentally, physically, cognitively. And then we use that information to design products, places, processes. And so when Ray brought this over and said, why don't you listen to this and see if at some point in time we can, when you're doing some research, we might be able to look into it. I listened and kind of, he was new, so I let him think I was listening to what he was saying, and we had a explanation by a woman who was involved in the layered voice analysis, And then we had Sherry come on a telecom. And we had a power, her PowerPoints and her voice. And as she went through the explanation, my thought was, if this is true, it's going to revolutionize medicine. If this works, nothing's going to be the same. But I couldn't think of a way to come up and do some research with it. But in our research, more recently, we've been doing some looks at new technologies and the effectiveness of new technologies in making people's lives easier. And we happen to have a project that was coming up in which we were looking at several technologies, and we were able to say, okay, this will fit. This will be one that will also be very helpful for us to take a look at. And so that's how we originally got here. But I want to add a personal piece to this, because I think that nobody can come here, nobody can attend this class without thinking of everyone they know, of everyone they love, that has an issue that is not resolved, or is not resolved sufficiently to their happiness when it's somebody that they love. And so you sit here and you think, okay, I've got a relative that has, you know, diabetes, or somebody that has a heart problem, or somebody that has this or that, or a child that has ADD, or my next door neighbor's child has ADD. And so the possibilities are so huge that regardless of whether or not you decide to do this for a living, regardless of whether or not you decide to come and try it yourself, I think everybody's going to want to look and track and see if there's any potential for them and their own families. And so it's been really fascinating to come and try it. And it's also much more involved. This is not something that you can come and attend a class and push a button when you finish and be able to do those things. This is truly an emerging profession, and people are going to study this and do it for a living. And it's there's more to it than meets the eye. I guess that's the way to say it, or than meets the ear.
That's a good way to put it. Ray, are you allowed to talk a bit about how this was accepted by your superiors when you wrote it up? When you submitted a grant and you got a strange reaction back?
Well, as I said, the real way that this happened is that we were asked to look at a technology, a different technology than this. And because I had already kind of proposed the idea of looking at voice analysis along with a couple of other technologies they look at the sound of blood flow, that sort of thing. So when somebody came to us and said, would you look at this technology, they already knew that we wanted to look at these other ones, and they said, okay, if you look at this technology and it's the same process that you were proposing to do with the other technologies, perhaps you could look at all four at once. And so that's how we were able to really do it. So in this study, we'll be looking at four different technologies and seeing how they do or don't work in looking at various health issues.
Okay, would you pass the mic over to Glenn?
Hello, my name is Glenn. I've been an alternative healthcare provider for 20 years. I work with a lot of people in chronic pain, so I've investigated a lot of the alternative ways in which we can eliminate or diminish people's pain and their perception of pain. And I found years ago that people's perception of pain diminished by listening to the tones that the Tibetan monks use, that the low frequencies actually decrease the pain levels. And have done looked at different research on brain waves and neuromuscular therapy, that doing that therapy actually decreases the excitation in the brain waves. So looking at sounds and how they're used with pain was of good interest to me. So I started using tuning forks and crystal singing bowls with my clients with great success. I had an opportunity with my young son when he was 3, and he was having a terrible temper tantrum, and nothing seemed to work. He didn't want to eat anything. He didn't want to go to bed. He just was having a terrible time. So I reached my exasperation level with him and put him in bed and walked away. And I thought, well, I'm going to come back with some tuning forks and just play some sounds for him. And I came back with a particular tuning fork. And as soon as I struck that and held that over him, he stopped kicking and thrashing and just got this pleasant look on his face. And he just calmed down and was a completely changed kid, sat up and wanted something to eat, and walked down the street with me telling the neighbors, "Daddy fixed me with a tuning fork. Daddy fixed me with a tuning fork." And I thought, wow, this is incredible. I've got to find out more about sound and how I can employ that. And I was fortunate to hear a radio broadcast of Sherry, and I instantly was interested. So I contacted Sound Health about 4 years ago and got the information about attending the classes, but it just wasn't a good time in my life at that time. So I've had this on hold for 4 years, so this is like opening a Christmas present that I've been waiting 4 years to open. So I'm finally here getting this training, because I think that fine-tuning it to the exact decimal point of the frequency, you can do much more than just decrease people's pain levels. You can actually take them out of pain and keep them there. So I'm very excited about taking this technology back to my practice and utilizing it in Akron, Ohio.
You don't want to talk. Okay, that's all right.
You're just kind of sitting in class. Is this class more or less than you expected?
Definitely more.
Valerie wants to talk about that.
Okay. It's harder.
harder as in?
Harder as in, I'm pretty sure that everybody else in the class is doing this also, but we leave this class and we do take a break to eat, and then we start trying the techniques and reading, and we do that up until we go to bed, and then we get up in the morning and we read more in the morning and then come over here. So it's not something that you just come and play, or you come and watch, or it's a very much a class of participation and concentration, and it's all worth it. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that it's not that I didn't expect to work. I don't know if I expected to work quite this hard.
Is it hard because it's hard work, or it takes a lot of time? Is this really hard to do, or it takes a lot of time?
It's not hard because you can't do it. It's hard because there's a lot of information, and it's fairly quick, and you want to be good at it right away, which, of course, you can't be good at anything right away. And depending on your background, if you have a background where you know a lot about vitamins, or you know a lot about chemistry and compounds, or you know a lot about sounds, I mean, pick one, and that probably puts you ahead a little bit. But when I say it's hard, I think it's hard because it's all-encompassing and all-involving. And, I mean, I can take any night, for example, but last night I had to make myself go to bed at 12:30, knowing I had to get up by about 7 in my own mind, because I wanted to start studying again. So part of it is your own personality and how involved in it, and how much you want to do it, and how excited you get about it. But I think probably everybody in the class is kind of doing that. They're all staying up because they like it.
So what you're saying is this is a bit intense.
Yeah.
Chris, did you want to say something? Is it more than you expected, or what you expected?
Well, when I first read about the class and before I've completed the investigation, I thought, oh, okay, you know, a week, like at the end of the week, then you have mastered that, or you've covered everything, and then the more that I learned, I switched that viewpoint 180 degrees. To understanding that at the end of the week, you know, it's just the very beginning, because because the paradigm has changed in your mind, and you understand what the possibilities are. So just a complete transformation from when I first saw that, and then as I learned more about what it actually is, realizing that, wow, this is really amazing.
Did the 400-page textbook throw you at all?
No, I mean, it is intense, and the first thing that came to my mind, or after I thought about it for a while, if it was, you know, if you really had it all in a week, okay, then by the third week, you'd be bored, right?
Very true.
So the exciting flip side is that, I mean, you're never going to be bored with this, or at least from my perspective now.
Yeah, I've been doing it for 30 years, and I'm still not bored. I still find new things every day to look at. Were any of you intimidated by the fact that in a couple of days, you guys learned 5 or 6 computer programs and how to run them, and we made you get up here and run them? Was that awful? Oh, Kat's going to talk about that.
My voice. I guess I want to impress upon the listeners how really accessible Sherry and her team have made this technology. It started out, I think, as a somewhat esoteric thing that Sherry could do, but she has been able to bring it into the modern age with the computer technology. And any layperson, I think really anyone on the street, could come in and sit down with Sherry and utilize the programs that she's created, the textbook, and listen to her instruction and the instruction of her team who are here to help her and pick it up. And, you know, I am a complete computer idiot, and I have been able to sit through this course and keep pace for the most part. So it's very accessible, and the applications are limitless. It's brilliant, and I'm excited, and I can't wait to learn more.
Thank you. Is anyone brave enough to describe what happens in a typical day here in class? Even if you want to start with the first day and go through, what do we really do here?
The typical day here really isn't the typical day that I expected. When I first came here, I didn't really know what to think of the technology. Having a mathematical background, I was interested in what it could do.
Just closer.
But anyhow, as we started with class, Sherry had told us that it would start to come together on Wednesday. So Monday and Tuesday for me, I was in a panic because I realized every time she did something, I didn't know what she just did. And I was trying not to lean over to Valerie to ask her what just happened because she had asked us not to engage in sidebar conversations. So I figured, well, by Wednesday, I'll figure this out. And during the day, the structure of the class, it's a seminar type, where there's a lot of involvement. So we were up and moving around, taking vocal recordings. And what was interesting to me is that she allowed us to come up and do this ourselves, allowed us to make mistakes, correct them. And so it was self-learning, self-discovery kind of a scenario. When I went to the hotel at the end of the evening, I was tired. We went out and ate dinner, and then we went back to study some more. And following the book allowed me to kind of capture what had happened during the day. So essentially, I felt as though I personally was learning at night what I should have learned during the day. And this was true for Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday comes along, and I'm starting to feel really good. So, okay, I understand what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. And then last night, Val and I struggled with this because we made a simple mistake, but we were able to figure it out the next day today. And I know tonight when I go back, you know, we'll be able to duplicate what we were trying to do yesterday. And what I'm trying to say is the class has been interesting the entire time. I have not been bored once. It's a nice environment. The people are friendly. The staff is helpful and nurturing as we work through our issues and our challenges. learning the software, learning the processes. And for me personally, not having a medical background, I was surprised at how little I knew. However, I was happy because in the literature that we have that Sherry provided, it's not just the 400-page textbook. There's other references that we have that I was able to find all of the answers. And so when I leave here, I'm confident that I will be able to continue to learn, but at the same time improved on the skills that I've already learned here.
I hear that you also like our building, Ray.
When I first started talking to Sherry, she was at a ranger station out in the middle of the woods, and I was so excited about that. I'd spent my military career in special forces, so I was used to being out in the woods, and I was just so excited because I was going to be in the woods. At where I work at is downtown San Antonio, Fort Sam Houston, and we work in a building that was built in 1918, and there's really no trees. So I was excited. And then I get here, and it's a grammar school building, and it's an older building. I forget what date was on the front of it, 1931?
Something like that
when the building was built. But it is really conducive to learning, and from a business perspective for Sherry, this building is great because of the way it's laid out. There's plenty of room. And she has everything she needs. She has classrooms, studios, offices, a warehouse, storage. She has her, you know, of course, a break room for the students. It's just, in my mind, this is the perfect place to be to learn.
Ray, we will take you over to the ranger station right after the show. Chris, you had something that you want to add?
Great. I just wanted to comment on the structure or the format of the class. You mentioned that, and while there, you know, you sent out an agenda and timeline, and we've covered that. But the part that I really appreciate is the dynamic nature of the class. Is that it's not okay. Here's day one, and here's the examples, and you're teaching it the same way the 100th time that you've taught the class. Because for me, that just has a complete, like a lifeless energy when that's the case. And in our classes, when we come to an interesting area, then we follow up on that or can be more dynamic. And for me, that's just much more positive energy. And I really find that much more exciting and a better learning, experience for it, at least for me.
So it's an opportunistic class. We do what the people in the class need at the moment. Okay, anybody else want to add to that, what the class is like?
I don't know if we've exactly explained how it happens. The class, you sit down, you have your own computer in front of you. There's a large screen that you can also watch. And then Sherry will do things on the computer, showing you the software, showing you how she's looking things up, because on your little computer screen and on the screen in the classroom, the large screen, you can see everything that she does. So she walks you through step by step the whole process. And you can ask questions at any time. You can stop at any time. You can ask her to repeat it or to show you again. And that's why it works to have people here in the classroom as well as people in their own homes. If the people in their homes have a question, they can type something in and it pops up on her computer screen and she can look at it and answer it, as well as being able to answer us. We speak over a microphone so that the people at home can also hear our questions. And so it's I just thought that the people might want to understand how that kind of happens. And then the other thing that she does is once we've learned something, she'll ask one of us to come up and then do the same thing using her computer or whatever. So then we will walk the class through maybe a second exercise that's very similar. So you're going to learn it. You're going to have to learn it because you're doing it all the way along.
Were the downloads helpful so that you could do the same thing that I'm doing? There's a lot of downloads, a lot of videos, a lot of WAV files. Was that helpful to you?
All of the downloads are extremely helpful. The only thing that we have found that sometimes when we go back and try to do it in the evenings ourselves is we might forget which button to click. Or, you know what I mean? And that really interrupts you, and you, because especially you can remember the process and everything to go through. That's the only thing we found that has really held us up. But she has a lot of downloads. And the first day too, she has a lot of films. And you even have some films on YouTube, mm-hmm. right? That you can go and pull up. And they have they do most of that in the first couple of days looking at the films, but they are very inspirational. And so that's a really kind of a fun piece of it, because you'll go along for a while, or maybe somebody will ask a question. They might ask a question about, well, have you ever done anything where you looked at, you know, or dealt with somebody that had cancer as an issue, or that had a visual problem as an issue? And sometimes they'll have a film on it, or they'll have somebody that is willing to share about it. And so it brings it quite alive for you. And if you were starting to feel like a little tired after lunch or something like that, it perks you right back up, because it's a very human interest. We're all interested in each other and how well we do.
We've also tried to create a lot of films, film forms, and pieces for you to use that make the process easier. So in the beginning, you just had to scribble everything on a piece of paper, and then we finally put it in a textbook. But it's very hard for me to remember to tell you something unless you ask me a question. And then the information just kind of falls out, and we write it down, we put it in the textbook. What do you think, we've touched on this a little bit, but what do you think the potential of this is? Anybody want to tackle that one? They're all rubbing their face here.
How many hours do we have to answer that question?
Stephen, you can answer it however you'd like. We've got about 15 minutes left in the show.
I would bring in the part of the audience who feel tentative about computer skills and have been trained in the traditional model related to pills and just a material orientation to medicine. And so if I would speak from the perspective of one who's been playing a flute and who had to overcome early training about even learning how to learn to love to draw, for instance, something that's so innate. And making sounds are so innate. However, unless there's an environment that nurtures playing with colors and lines, or nurtures playing music or making sounds and enjoying your own voice, then those qualities are being shut down and closed off. And if I then translate that into the process of what I've been through to learn to be more and more responsible for my own health, and pay attention to a fever, or pay attention to a sore place in my back, and just since I was in my 20s, and I'm 62 now, I've followed a pretty devoted course, meandering and as right-brained as it has been. I followed a pretty direct course to understand as much as I could about energy medicine, about healing, about balancing, just even learning to move and experience the difference between tension and flow, and to learn that it's okay to make purple elephants, you know, when you're drawing, or to play with sound from the range of screaming to whispering, and just own all those expressive elements. For me now, I feel such a gratitude to be here with Sherry and her staff, because Sherry's finding these ways of bringing her gift, this weird, wonderful gift of her own listening. She's she can't clone us, but she's found a way to incorporate it into a computer system. And so now I have my bamboo flute, which I'm getting a little better at after 25 or 30 years. And now I have this technology, which I'm seeing as an instrument to become proficient at, hopefully quicker than decades. But the challenge is that I'm enjoying this as an instrument that I'm gaining a skill with, and I want to be as fluent on the computer as I am on the flute, so that I can offer it in both directions. The beauty of it in both directions, the beauty of the flute playing and improv, and sitting at a screen and listening to somebody speak, and offering the awareness of what's contained in the voice pattern, so that the potential is spreading this awareness of the wealth of the integrity of our system in our voice, and the component of being more and more responsible and owning our power, owning our healing awareness, and seeing that spread one by one and two by two, so that there's a relishing of what we are as far as frequency instruments rather than pill poppers. And not saying anything wrong with that level of things, but I just feel like as a people on a planet, we're moving to more and more subtle ways of interacting and proceeding here. So this gift and technology, in the way that I've experienced this week, has been a real challenge in terms of the computer skills, but the vision of it is exhilarating. And I'm up late every night too. Chris and I have been working on programs, and he's been walking me through being my tutor. And the gift of it all is feeling the push and the challenge, but the wonder of the technology is such that I can't work hard enough to gain the skill to catch up, so that I can let other people know about it and they can take their own responsibility for their health.
You've touched on two things that we really like to have in this class, and that's the idea of self-health, because we've created these programs so they can do it themselves. But the other is, this is a real blend of esoteric science and science. Did that bother anybody that this is such a blending? We have one foot in each door. You know, the esoteric way it was developed, but pushing it toward a science and facts and logic and proof. And was that an issue for any of you that we did both of those?
Yeah. For me personally, it was difficult for me to accept the esoteric and the science. When I looked at it, I just could not find what I considered to be the good science. As I've spent time here, I'm starting to see it, and I realize it's going to take me a while to understand that. What makes this technology unique is it's limited by your imagination. And with the communications the way it is today, computers, data processing the way it is, there's so much potential for this. And as an example, the technology identifies concerns in a non-invasive manner. No needles, you're not touched. And if you look at it, the potential, currently we're worried about the bird flu as an example. Well, if this was tied to our communications network, say our telephones, as an example, and people, you know, just through normal conversation, the computers start to pick up that there is an indication of bird flu in a particular area. Instead of waiting, you know, days, weeks, or months for the illness to manifest itself, you would know much sooner. So it's just one area of a potential that would benefit society at large.
May, for you, there was a turning point in class when you said you were a skeptic when you came here. Can you talk about that turning point?
For me, I have a history of back problems. The kind of units I was in the Army, we carried very heavy rucksacks, lots of parachute jumps. I've got over 300. And I've got some very nasty falls and, you know, parachute landings. And over the years, I've trashed my back is the way I refer to it. I've taken narcotics for the pain. My back has gone out several times where I was, well, in the Army, we call it quarters, where I was essentially sent home to heal. And the second time I was home for 7 weeks. It's 2 years ago. My back finally went out. I had surgery. I've got rods, pins, and screws. My surgery reduced my pain by about 75%. It increased my mobility. I still have restrictions. I'm not allowed to carry heavy things, as an example. I'm always in a scale of 0 to 10. I was pretty much always at a level 2 in pain. It gets to the point that I just live with it. When I get up, I stretch, I do pelvic tilts, pelvic thrusts, trying to relax so that it just doesn't hurt as much. I've got a really nice chair in my office to deal with the back injuries and the back pain. While I was here, I had talked to Sherry about the back injuries that I had, and she just on the fly created a program for me. And we put it into the SMAD, which is an electronic device that delivers tones. And I listened to this for a while, and my back pain, it didn't go away completely, but it was decreased. And that was just within the first few minutes. And about the next hour or two, what I felt was comfort. And it was something that I'd not experienced. I was so used to having that constant nagging pain that I didn't know what to make of it. And when Sherry asked me about it, I kind of hemmed and hawed about how I felt because I wasn't sure if it was just subjective on my part or if it really was objective. I went home that night. And I did sleep much better than I usually do. The next day, I went through the whole day, and I didn't have any problems. I was still being careful about what I did. Again, it was force of habit. Yesterday, I took home a software program. Actually, what it was the back box that Sherry has. And with that box, I had a series of frequencies in it, and I listened to it last night. And I also listened to the SMAD with the tailored frequencies that Sherry had given me. And again, I slept through the whole night. And I can't emphasize how important that is to me because that is not normal. This morning I came in. I feel much better. Little bit, I don't know if I have more of a spring in my step because I'm very cautious about how I walk and go upstairs, go downstairs, but I do feel much better. And from a scientific point of view, it's very hard to quantify because right now it's opinion. However, my pain level has decreased. My mobility has improved. And I still have that comfort that I found on Monday. And I'm just excited that it's worked so far. But being a scientist, I'm supposed to be objective. And I'll wait a couple more weeks, but I feel great.
Okay, we've got about a minute left. Did any of you learn anything in this class so far that was a totally new concept to you?
Valerie did?
I had never ever thought of the idea of medications having a frequency, being able to look up that frequency for yourself, knowing if you were already high or low, and then perhaps, being able to suggest this medicine might work for you better than another one. Had never crossed my mind.
I think what amazes me is this is backward science for me. I found something, and then I would go to the literature or somebody would bring me a book, and I found out that that was part of our knowledge base that we already had, and that I was just looking at it a little bit different. So I think we're just remembering, and with computers, we have a way to duplicate what maybe people did thousands of years ago by way of laying on of hands healing, and they did this automatically. Something in our brain function, and that we may have lost that. Now we've just put it in computers so everybody can use it.
It's a reverse engineering.
That's a good way to look at it. For those of you, we're out of time. I need the microphone back.
We probably could go on and on with this. I think this class has been an exceptional class because you guys caught on really well and you were prepared. Classes that aren't prepared just kind of drive us crazy the next day because we try to teach something that we expect them to know already. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being with us. I certainly appreciate your comments, and you will probably be back for some other research courses to learn some other things like specific courses on, say, cancer or arthritis or something like that. Nikki, do you have any last words you want to add to this?
I'm good.
You're good. How as a teaching assistant, what does it make you feel to hear these people say this about class?
I have to brag on this class a little because they were prepared. They didn't need much of me because they were already there. So it always helps if you read your text and you're ready to go.
That's great. I love teaching this class. It's new every time, and we try to improve ourselves each time. So thank you for joining us. This is Sherry Edwards, Vocal Profiling Live on BBS Radio. Thank you.